for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power in our lives. Thank you for all the good gifts you have given to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the strength to continue in this fasting. Since when we started till this moment, you have strengthened us. You have kept us going by your strength. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the prayers we have prayed that you have answered. Thank you for revelations you have made us to see during this fasted season. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we have come together again to lay at your feet. I ask, O Lord, that you minister to every heart in the name of Jesus. Let your word enter into every heart and produce deep knowledge of you, even deep knowledge of your ways, your operations, your will, your mind, in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that through this teaching, you shall empower us to have victory and dominion over all the forces of darkness and witchcraft. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. You know that we have been looking at part 4 of this teaching series. And the part 4 says, discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. Discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. That is the part 4 of the teaching title that says, building a strong discerning spirit. Building a strong discerning spirit. Last Tuesday, we talked on amplifiers and magnifiers of darkness. Amplifiers and magnifiers of darkness. Today, we'll be looking at destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenants. Destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenants. Blood covenants. The purpose of this particular topic is not about ritual, the witchcraft blood covenant. Yeah, so we are not really going to be knowing or talking about the details of what, of the kind of rituals the people in witchcraft or the people that practice witchcraft does. And we're not going to be talking in details of the kind of blood covenant they engage in. Yeah, but we'll be talking on what you as a believer can do that will destroy whatever they do in the realm of witchcraft, in the realm of witchcraft against your life, against your calling, against your destiny, your ministry, against your marriage or your marital life. Yeah, so we'll be looking at the things you should always do to destroy anything they are doing against you from the realm of witchcraft. And those things I will be talking about tonight are really going to help you, especially those of you that are under strong witchcraft attacks. If you can really follow these blueprints, it will help you a lot. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so I'll be mentioning them. There is just four points I would mention under this topic, and I'll be talking on them one by one. Yeah, the topic once again says destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenants. Now, let me talk briefly on witchcraft rituals and blood covenants, but I won't be going into details. Yeah, but I will talk briefly on them. So what is a witchcraft? What is a ritual? And why do witchcraft people, why do they do rituals? Yeah, and what kind of blood covenants do they engage in their covens or in their kingdoms? A ritual is a routine practice that are being done to either please a deity or to appraise a deity, to praise a deity, or to connect with the spirit world, or to connect with spirits. Yeah, so a ritual is anything that is being done on a routine basis, that is a timetable for it. Anything they do, maybe 7 times in a day, or they do at certain times in a day, in the day, certain hours in the day. Yes, to connect with a divine personality, or to connect with the spirit world, or to connect with spirits or demons, or to seek for the favor of an invisible divine personality. Yeah, or to praise that Yeah, so those are rituals. That is, those are witchcraft rituals. Yeah, then blood covenants. Blood covenants or witchcraft blood covenants entails shedding of blood either initiate a covenant or how do I put it? Maybe I should say to feed a covenant. Yeah. In the realm of witchcraft, they shed blood to either start a covenant, initiate a new covenant with a spirit, a demon, or a principality, or a powerful being. Yeah. So it is either to start a covenant or to feed an existing covenant. And you know what covenant is all about. Covenant is just an agreement between two persons or an agreement between two group of persons. But in this case, these are agreements between human agents and demonic creatures, or agreements between lesser demons, as in demons of lower ranks with the higher demons. Yeah, the real fallen angels. I've explained before that the real fallen angels, they are higher than those that are not really, those that were not part of the group that fell from heaven when Satan fell. So that there are some demons that are not part of those group of angels that fell from heaven with Satan or with Lucifer. There are some demons that are not part of that group. So those demons, they were. I've talked on it. You can go and listen to that teaching. I don't want to repeat them again. Those demons, they are like offsprings of these higher demons. Yeah, and not only that, we have human beings who were recruited and now they are demons. Yeah. The spirit of a human being can be transformed into a demon. So we have some people that when they died, since they did not live for God, they did not know God in their lifetime, they were recruited by the kingdom of darkness. Their spirits were recruited by the kingdom of darkness after they had died to work for Satan in the underworld. Yeah, so no, they were humans before they died, but now they are demons. So there's a lot of mysteries about that, but just know that lesser demons are also bound by covenant to higher demons. And not only that, we have human beings who are into covenant with these demonic creatures. Yeah, that is, there's an agreement between them Maybe those humans, that is, those witches, or wizards, or occultic, or people that practice occultism. So maybe they say, you just give us power, and this is what we'll be giving in return. So that's a covenant. Or you just give us money, make me rich, and then I'll be giving this back in return. Or give me fame, and then I'll be giving this in return. So those are covenants. And usually, they are blood covenants. Any agreement between a spirit and a higher spirit, or a human and a demon or demonic beings, that those are covenants. And I mean, those are dark covenants. Dark covenants. And what I wanted to say, yeah, I said those covenants are always sealed with blood. Yeah, those covenants are always sealed with blood. So that's why I call them blood covenants. So either they are sealed with human blood, or sealed with blood of animals. Yeah. And apart from that, there are other things they do to conceal those covenants. Yeah, but they must shed blood. It's either they shed their own blood to conceal the covenant, or they shed another person's blood. Yeah, blood have to be shed in those realms to conceal the demonic covenant, the witchcraft covenant. Yeah, so that is on the meaning or description of witchcraft rituals and blood covenant. So now we are going to talk about destroying these things, especially when have been done against you. Yeah. What to do as a believer to make sure that any ritual done against you from the realm of witchcraft or through witchcraft operations or practices don't have effect over you. What you should do, what you should always do as a believer. And not only that, what you should always do to ensure that whatever covenants they engage in or they invoke to attack you, yeah, how to ensure that those covenants don't work in your life. So, the first one is midnight prayers. Midnight prayers. Let us read the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And need to learn this heart of prayer. Heart as in A-R-T. This heart of prayer from our Lord Jesus. Yeah. He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now this is Jesus, who is God personified. But he still have to pray to ensure that he succeeds in choosing the 12 apostles, to ensure that he succeeds in his ministry, in his destiny. He prayed all night. So if you are dealing with witchcraft attacks, you must engage in midnight prayers. Yeah. You must, and I will. I'll try to make you see reasons why you need to engage in midnight prayers when you are dealing with witchcraft forces, witchcraft attacks. Yeah. The first reason is that the hours of midnight are also the hours through which most witchcraft, are also the hours in which most witchcraft rituals and covenants are being done. Yeah. Most witchcraft groups, they use the hours of the night to operate, or maybe I should say, to do their rituals. I'm not saying they don't do it in the daytime. Of course, they do it in the daytime. Yeah, but it is the strongest in the night hours. Yeah, it is the strongest in the night hours. So you praying at that same time is very effective against the witchcraft attacks. And I'm not talking about midnight prayers you do once in a while, except you feel like you have already conquered witchcraft, so you don't need to fight them. Then you might not really pray that much at midnight. But let's say you have looked at your life and the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to discover that your entire life for years have been under the influence and dominion and control of witchcraft. Then this teaching is for you. Yeah, that is, God have opened your eyes and have opened your understanding to discover that you are under strong witchcraft attacks. Then you must pray at midnight. And it must be consistent. So that is where I'm going. Not that you just do it once in a week, twice in a week, or three times in a week. If possible, be doing it every day. As in every midnight. Every midnight. Yeah, and you can do it like that for maybe 20 days, maybe 40 days. consistent. You wake up maybe from 11 p.m. or 12 a.m. and then you pray maybe for like 3 hours and then you sleep again. The following day you wake up at that same time, pray for like 3 hours and then you sleep again. The following day you wake up at that same time. If you continue like that, except you are living in sin, there's no way you will not see great victories. It's not possible. Yeah, it's not possible that you will not have great victories. Yeah, but sometimes when we tell Christians to do these things, they feel like, is it that serious? Is it as serious as that? Must I have to do that? Can't you just pray for me? Or can't I just, you know, do those prayers during the daytime? Yeah, and they are still suffering today. I mean, those Christians that give such excuses, many of them are still suffering today. Yeah. God already exposed to you that you are under witchcraft attacks, and then you are sleeping. You don't sleep in the night. Then you wake up maybe 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. You say, oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for this new day. You don't know what has gone well. You don't know a lot of things that have happened between the time you slept and the time you are waking up. You don't know a lot of rituals that have been done, a lot of covenants that have been said just to limit your life and destiny. And then you just sleep. And then the same spot your life has been in since 5 years ago is still the same spot it is. And then you are just sleeping and waking up, smiling, say, thank God for today, praise the Lord. And then you are not moving forward because you are not doing what you should do as a believer. Yeah, so they use those midnight hours a lot for their terrible operations. And that is why you need to also engage them in those hours. I'm not saying you can't pray against witchcraft in the daytime, but that is for cases where the attacks are not that strong over you, or that is for cases where you have already conquered them to some extent. Like maybe you have already conquered them to the level of maybe 90%. Then you can just pray against witchcraft operations in the daytime. But when you are really dealing with witchcraft attacks, that is, it's so strong in the environment you are living, or it's so strong in your family line, then you must use the hours of midnight, because those are the hours that they renew those covenants. Those are the hours that they do those rituals. Yeah. So you have to also step into the same hours to stop them. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why you should do a lot of midnight prayers. Because they also use those hours. I mean, the witchcraft people, they also use those hours against humanity. Now, another reason the fact that the hours of midnight is a divine hour. Yeah, there's no time for me to see some things. But we try. Yeah. I will try to see them fast. Yeah. The hours of midnight are divine hours. Both midnight and those early hours, early morning hours, let's say from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. They are divine hours. And then 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. they are also divine hours. Yeah, usually 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. they are warfare hours. So the angels of war, they are always available in those hours. 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Usually, those are the hours of divine visitations, especially visitations that comes with or that has revelations in it. Visitations from heaven that has revelations in them, that these the hours where God most times come to release revelations, those are between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. And then from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. they are usually warfare hours, because those are the seed sowing time. Yes, those hours are the seed sowing time. You know, Jesus said something. He said, when men slept, the enemy came and sowed seed and sowed tares among wheat. So those hours are the seed sowing hours, you know, the hours where the forces of darkness, they go about sowing evil seeds. And those are the hours where they determine what will happen the following day, between 12 a.m. and 3 a.m. Those are the hours in which they determine what will happen what will happen when the day breaks. Yeah. So they control their fears. The kingdom of darkness controls their fears of the whole world in those hours. So whatsoever they have planted and programmed in those hours will definitely happen if Christians don't stop those things they have planted. Yeah, there are some other things I cannot go into details. Do you know that, I think I've said before, do you know that we have so many streets and houses and buildings that have been baptized into hell? Look, physically you are seeing buildings, houses, streets, but in the realm of the spirit, that entire community have been baptized. That is, that entire community have sunk down. Charlie, it looks like this is my street. But in the realm of the spirit, your community have been translated into the demonic world. Yeah, but physically, you see a street and you see buildings. But spiritually, everyone in that area, they have been baptized. So everywhere is covered with darkness. Everyone is deep into darkness because they have buried everyone deep down into hell. So everyone sleeps and wakes up in hell or in the underworld or in darkness. Yeah. But physically, it doesn't look like something is wrong with the location. Yeah, so if a Christian happens to be living in that kind of community or environment, so you have to relocate your own building from the buildings that have been baptized deep into the spirit world. We have many houses that they have been baptized into the marine world, the marine kingdom. Yeah, so everything that happens is in those houses, in those places, is under the control of marine spirits. Yeah, the food they eat in that house, there's some houses that you should not, I'll still talk about that. There's some houses you should not go and eat. Because everything they cook in that house has been poisoned by marine spirits, and the people don't even know, because that house spiritually is underwater. Physically, it looks like it's on the ground, or and it has a name. This is a street. It's number so. This, you know, this street has so number, and then it's in California, New York, or is in South Africa, or is in Zimbabwe or whatever. So physically, they can trace the street to a meaningful address or a meaningful location. But spiritually, the entire street and the people there, they are underwater. And everything they do is being influenced by the spirits under the sea. Yeah, so that is, and this thing I've just said is in many places. Where I was staying before I moved to Abuja here, where I was staying in Lagos area or Ogun State area. So one day as I was going, as I was walking on the streets, the Lord was showing me that. He said, look at all these buildings. He said, they are not here. Yeah, he said, look at all of these houses. He said, they are not here. He said, they are in another realm. So physically, they look like they are here, but they are not here. Yeah, and a careful study of the lives of the people in that area shows that many of them are suffering under witchcraft oppressions. Yeah, so even in this place I am, it's happening. So this thing I'm saying, or this thing I've just said, is happening everywhere. But you can't see it if you are not a prayerful person. Yeah, so what was I saying? I said those hours between 12 and 3 a.m., they are divine hours, especially warfare hours. So the angels of war from heaven, they are at your service in those hours. Yeah, and then between the hours of 4 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. the angels of revelations. Yeah, the angels that brings divine presence, that reveals secrets. They are also at your service in those hours. Yeah. So Christians should take advantage of these things I'm saying right now. So if you know anybody that don't know these things, you can share with them. So when you pray in these hours, you really shift things in the realms of the spirit. There are times that I will be praying at midnight, and at a point, a very thick darkness will come upon me to make me sleep, and I will refuse. I say, no, I'm not going to sleep. And I will be fighting the sleep face to face. It's not as if maybe I've done some stressful activity. It's just because they know what I'm doing is affecting them. And they know that I am separating my own destiny, my own calling, my own life from the list of many lives and destinies that they are controlling. So they will come in those hours. Yeah, the people around me, they used to like, why not go and sleep? I said, no, if you don't understand, I can't sleep. Yeah, I have to fight. Yeah, so I will pray until the sleep disappears, and I will continue to pray. So many of divine encounters that I've had with God, many of life-changing visitations from God I have had, it is between those hours, whole night, from 12 to 6 a.m. Sometimes I might stop at 5 a.m. Sometimes I might stop at 4. Yeah, but I would pray through those hours, fighting, especially those powers that they reset the days, they program every day for evil. Yeah, so make sure that I deal with them. Yeah, to the point that it has now become part of me that I hardly sleep at midnight. So I think it's not as if I am suffering under witchcraft attacks. It's just that the kind of calling that I have to make sure that the witchcraft realms don't do anything that will limit my life, limit my destiny, limit my calling, because I know that they are strongly after me. Yeah, so even despite the fact that I am winning, I'm on the way, I am conquering them, that doesn't mean I should just relax. Yeah, despite the fact that I already have a lot of victories over them, over the realm of witchcraft and the oppressions, that doesn't mean I should just sit down. So I still continue to pray to stay above them, to remain above them. So I still continue to pray. Yeah. Then what about those that they have not even gotten above them? Then I think they should pray more at midnight. Yeah, so those are the two reasons I can say for now. Then we move to another point. What you should do as a believer to destroy witchcraft rituals was midnight prayers. Number two is reading out loud the scriptures with faith. Reading out loud the scriptures with faith. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. It says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So if you believe the word of God, if you believe that the word of God is true and powerful, then speak out the word of God. Now, that is why some scriptures have been included in our fasting prayer guide. For you to speak out. But I know some people, they might just skip that part and just go into the prayer point and just be praying the prayer point. Speaking out those scriptures are very powerful. Yeah. They invoke the presence of God. That is, they call forth God's presence. They call forth God's angels. When you speak out the scriptures into the air, when you read out the scriptures very loud with faith into the atmosphere, they call forth the power of God and the angels of God. Yeah. So you can also look at the Bible and look for powerful scriptures on deliverance, on healings, on protection, powerful scriptures on those promises, and begin to recite them out loud into the air. There is no limit. If you can recite 20, 30, 40 chapters, there is no limit. The more you do it, the more the atmosphere around you keep changing. The more some demons hanging in the head around you, the more they'll start running back. They'll start running back. So you need to do this very often when you are fighting witchcraft, rituals, and covenants. You need to be reciting the scriptures into the atmosphere as many as you can with faith. Recite them out. There are so many scriptures I have read out on my own. So many. And they always work wonders. Every time I do that with faith, yeah, they have, through that I've gotten healings, through that I've gotten deliverances, just through reading out scriptures into the air, reading them out loud. Yeah, it destroys. Destroys the rituals they have done against you in the realm of witchcraft. It destroys them. So you should do that often, especially those of you that you are fighting a lot of witchcraft. Yeah. Let's move to another point. Number three is spiritual songs, worship and praise songs, singing spiritual songs, not just listening. The story of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. Yeah, we saw how they were singing at midnight, and because their hearts were so buried in the songs, it provoked power of God. Because the power of God and the presence of God is in this earth. So when we sing praise songs, worship songs, spiritual songs, God will be magnified from the earth. Yeah. God don't have to come down from heaven. God is in the earth already. So you can see that in that scripture, there was great earthquake. That is the presence of God. Yeah, God revealed another dimension of his presence that is very strong when they were singing. Yeah, not those distracted singing that Christians used to do today. Not singing that you are singing and then your mind is somewhere else. Oh, Adonai, we worship you. And then your mind is thinking about the proposal you submitted yesterday or some days ago to one company so that they can approve. And then you are saying, Son of God, you are so good. And then you are thinking about one party or one phone, one meeting that you did, how you met with new friends or old friends, how you were talking. That is not the kind of spiritual song that work wonders against witchcraft. I mean, that's not how to sing those kind of spiritual songs. They'll produce power. Yeah. You sing and you put yourself in those songs. Baptize yourself into those songs. Get lost into those songs. That is how to sing spiritual songs. Not the one that your mouth is sinking and your mind is somewhere else. You're just wasting your time. That's not how to sing spiritual songs. But you sing and then you are inside. That was how Paul and Silas, that was how they sang. They forgot about whatever happened to them earlier in that day, how they were unjustly humiliated and publicly beaten. They forgot about the shame, but they began to praise God and worship God, and they buried themselves into those songs. The power manifested. Yeah, so that is how to sing spiritual songs. Not the ones you are singing and then you are still looking around, you are still conscious of the environment, and you have not started. Yeah. When you really have been baptized into spiritual songs, you will see your spirit being lifted from this earth into another realm. I don't know if you have worshipped God to that point, or praised God to that point, whereby your spirit is being lifted from the earth, and you are now with God in the high places. May God give you grace to do that. Let's look at the fourth point, which is watch what you eat and where you eat. Watch what you eat and where you eat. Yeah, because after the witchcraft people, after they have affected their witchcraft, their rituals in their realms, usually the last stage is to see how to get their products into the body system of people. Yeah, they try to see how to package food items that people will eat. So, and as many people that eat those things, they will always be weak against them. Yeah. So if you are eating the food they have packaged to complete their rituals, you will forever be weak against them. So that is why you must watch what you eat and where you eat. Yeah. So there are some food items that have been sold in the market that are from witchcraft realms. So you must pray for God to show you those things. So watch what you eat and where you eat. A lot of Christians are spiritually dead today because of what they eat and where they eat. Yeah. When they pray, their prayers did not ascend beyond the roof of their buildings. Because their spirit man is dead completely. Yeah. So they can't touch heaven anymore. They can't touch God anymore. So every attempt, God don't manifest himself to them anymore. Because every attempt to draw closer to God, God keeps drawing far from them because of what they have eaten, they always appear as abomination in the sight of God. They have been polluted by what they eat. I'm going to give you examples. Yeah. Do you know that there are some food items that are not food? I think I've said something like this before. There are some food items that are not food. Yeah. Some of those things are human blood or human flesh. But through witchcraft, they have been changed into something that looks sweet and beautiful. And then you go out to the market, you buy those things. So now, how do you expect God to draw closer to someone that has just finished eating his fellow human being? You are a human being, and then you have just finished eating a human flesh and drinking human blood, and you don't know, you thought it's just normal food. How will God's presence draw close to you? It's not possible. Those food, they kill our spirit immediately. Yeah, there are some creams. That's all that some people apply on their bodies, and these creams, some of the ingredients they use for these creams are aborted babies. Yeah, you know, babies after they have been, people who do abortion after they have aborted those babies. Yeah. The flesh of those babies. Yeah, the flesh of those babies, they use it to produce some things. Yes, yeah, so all of, and then you begin to rub those creams on your body. Or, there's some vaccines, immunization, that contains aborted the tissues of aborted babies. Yeah, and then you let them inject those vaccines into you. So now there are so many pollutions out there. There are some things that we use that are dead, that are from dead bodies. They use the bones of dead bodies to produce them. And we use them because they sell them in the market. Yeah, so all of these things is killing our spirits, and it's killing us generally, spirit, soul, and body, and making it difficult for us to connect with God, even making it difficult for people to live a holy life. Yeah, because the Spirit of God cannot manifest in their bodies anymore. Yeah, because the body has become an abomination to the spirit. So now, you might be asking that, what is the way out? The way out is to pray, especially that God will open your eyes to those things so that you stop using them and hitting them. It could be one of your best snacks. Yeah. You just need your eyes to be opened. And God will open your eyes, especially during this fasting. I trust that God will open the eyes of many of you to stop hitting and using items that are directly from the witchcraft realms. In Jesus' name. And then not only that, I said, watch where you hit. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 2. As we round up, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Yeah. That is just what I want to pick from this verse. Even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you. And then Jesus repeated the same words, where Satan dwelleth. So there are places where Satan dwells physically. But they might not see him, but his presence is so strong there. And anything he wants to happen, happens there. Yeah, so be careful where you hit. Even if it's your food. Yeah, because I know some people, they package their food. They take it to the workplace. They say, I can't eat this food in the house. Let me eat it at my place of work. What if your place of work is where Satan strong darkness in your place of work that have not been conquered, that you have not conquered. Yeah, and then you carry your food into that place. Yeah, once you open that food, they have cleaned it immediately. Well, I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm just telling you the realities in the spirit world. Yeah, so be careful where you eat. Even if it is your own food, you packaged, be careful where you eat that food. Yeah, or you visited a friend. Be sensitive in your spirit to know whether to eat in that house or not to eat there. And because eating there can put a captivity into your life that you might be fighting it for the next 2 years or 3 years. Yeah, so be careful where you eat. Be sensitive. There are places that I can never eat in those places. Not only that, I cannot even accept a cup of water in those places. Because I know the darkness that is there. Yeah, I know what is there. So be careful. We're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment of Bible study, especially the exposition of the realms of darkness you have made us to see. Thank you for teaching us how to be wiser than the enemy, how to not fall victim of the enemy. Thank you for teaching us these things, how to be smarter than the enemy. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we have talked about the power of midnight prayers and also reading out loud your scriptures and the others. I ask, O Lord, that let this teaching produce great lifestyle transformation in the hearts and lives of your people in Jesus' name. I pray that you will respond to this teaching and begin to change your lifestyle and begin to take seriously the matters of spiritual exercises, such as spiritual songs, singing spiritual songs to God, praying at midnight hours, and the others we have talked about. I pray that the Lord help you to begin to take these things seriously so that you can always be victorious over darkness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered.